king. Okay, if you are, let us know, because we got to finish up that parking lot landscaping over there. Let us know if you're a king. Okay, we may not be a king, but we all have choices. We all have a choice. What are we going to be intentional about? Baasha decided that he was going to be intentional about pursuing personal advancement, while Asa decided that he was going to pursue God, and Asa found peace. When Baasha came to the throne in 1 Kings chapter number 15, the way that he did is he did it by force. He wasn't in line to be a king. His father wasn't a king. It was nothing like that. In fact, Baasha was just a regular king. He was just a regular guy. And Baasha had this ambition that he wanted to be king. In fact, in 1 Kings chapter 15, 29, we talked about it just a moment ago, but this is how he became king. The Bible says it came to pass when he reigned that he smote all the house of Jeroboam. He left not to Jeroboam any that breathed. Did you get that? If it breathed, gone, okay? I mean, does the household cat have something to do with, like, taking over the reign or something? I mean, if it breathed, it was gone. The Bible says, until he had destroyed him, according to the saying of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. Baasha made a terrible mistake. This was his mistake. Baasha thought that if he could just be king, he would be happy. If he could just be king, he would have that rest in his life that his soul longed for. If he could just be king, if he could just get to this next step in his life, then everything would be better. Baasha thought this: if I could be king, then I will be happy. Because Baasha was like me and you. Baasha was ordinary. Baasha didn't live in the palace. Baasha didn't have like a gold scepter. Baasha didn't have some gold chariot. Baasha sat in the real world like me and you, and he saw the famous king and said, man, if I can be like Jeroboam, then I'm going to be happy. So guess what he did? He decided that he was going to be like Jeroboam, and he was going to stop at no cost to do it because he thought that that would make him happy. Sometimes we think this: if I can just get, then I'll be happy. If I can just get that job, if I can just get that house, if I can just get that relationship, if I can just go on that vacation, if I could just get those followers, then I'll be happy. This is what Baasha did. Baasha lived his life trying to pursue happiness at all costs. We're Americans. We do the same thing. I think about a few years ago, there was a movie that came out by Will Smith. It was one of the I believe it was a true story. It was one of the most popular. When it went into the box office, it was such a popular movie, and it was called The Pursuit of Happiness. That's a great movie. Who's seen that movie? It's okay, you're in church. That's a great movie. I see Ms. Zing Zhang. She smiled ear to ear, you know. She finally woke up from her nap. Just kidding. The Pursuit of Happiness. We love that story. It's a guy that didn't have anything, and he worked hard, and he got rejected, and people were mean to him. But guess what? He made it because he was on the pursuit of happiness. I think of pop singer Pharrell Williams. He recently came out with a song called Happy. It was from Despicable Me 2. And it was number one on the Billboard charts for several weeks in a row. It boasts to be the world's first 24-hour music video. You can go to his website and you can literally listen to this song 24 hours a day. Put the headphones on. It's because I'm happy, you know. I'm happy. And that's it. And it was the number one song. Why? Because we are trying to find happiness. Part of the lyrics of the song, it's a happy, upbeat song. It's nothing can bring me down because I'm happy. And I'm not criticizing the song, but I'm just saying this, that Americans are on the pursuit of happiness, and we are willing to stop at nothing to get it. Here's the question. What happens when tragedy strikes, though? Ask Tony Gwynn's family. He passed away this past week, the age of 54. Age of 54 with the type of mouth cancer. A fantastic individual, a fantastic man, not just a baseball player, but a fantastic human being. 54 years old, what did he do to deserve that? Happiness, nothing can bring me down? Hey, let's be in the real world, okay? Let's go to the cancer hospitals. Let's go to the chemotherapy rooms, okay? This whole thing of happy, 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 the unfortunate part is that's not life, life, life. The Huffington Post states this, that 50% of Americans spend more money than they make in a given year. Consumer debt in 1980 was $907 billion. Consumer debt in 2010 rose to $13 trillion. This is what we think. If I can get more stuff and more possessions and more cars and more this and more this. My stress, my anxiety, my worries are going to go down. So, if I get more of this, then I'll have less of this. If I'll get more of this, then I'll get less of this. Here's the crazy thing, and I challenge you to Google it when you get home tonight. Look in 2014, look at from between now and 45 years ago, how much prescription pills have gone up. The crazy thing is we have more of this, and while it should be less of this, what's really happened is as we've gotten more of this, we've gotten a whole lot more of this too. And if things, and if having this will make us happy, then how come we're hooked on all these meds? And I'm not against meds, I'm not, but I'm trying to paint a picture to say this, is that while we have more than we've ever had, I know we're in an economic downside, but still we have more than we've ever had, how come all these things over here are going up? It's because peace doesn't come as we possess more things. Peace comes as we humbly and honestly pursue God. Baasha's life, you read his life. I challenge you, read his story. His life was marked by unrest. Literally, he warred throughout his entire life. Like, his life was never at a place of peace. Why was his life never a place of peace? Because all he did was pursue his personal advancement and pursue his personal happiness. Baasha was very insecure with who he was. Baasha was not secure at all. Now, Asa. You see, Asa was king in the southern kingdom. And here's a little picture so you can kind of tell. You have after Solomon became king, because remember, Solomon was king, and after he died, the kingdom was split both ways between, we have Jeroboam and Rehoboam, okay? These two guys are after Jeroboam and Rehoboam. You have the kingdom of Israel, which we know as the northern kingdom, and you have the southern kingdom, which would be called the kingdom of Judah. And it lasted like this for quite a long time. So we have here, Asa was king of Judah, and Baasha was king in Israel, and you can see they're in very close proximity. Things are going on. They know what the other one is doing. They have the same situations, and it's also very interesting to know that Asa and Baasha, their dads were not followers of God, so it's not like Asa, his dad, sat him down on his knee and said, all right, this is what the Bible says. This is how you walk with God. No, it was nothing like that for Asa. If Asa was going to do anything, it was because he had a desire and a love for God from a God-given love and desire for God. It wasn't from his father. So Asa and Baasha, they're in the same exact situations, but one made a choice to pursue God, to be intentional about it, and one did not. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse number 3, right after Asa became king, it says, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Asa made a decision. He's like, look, guys, hey, I'm just let y'all know, we all going to see God, all right, like every one of us. I know you rebellious teenagers back. No, you're going to do it too, okay? You moms and dads, yeah, you built those idols. We're getting rid of those things. We're all going to see God. It doesn't matter what you like. I'm the king. This is what we're going to do. The crazy thing is, though, when you look at where it brought them to a place that they really wanted to be. I put this verse on the screen, so I want you to see it. It says, we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. Rest. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we long for in our busy go, go, go lives? Rest, peace. You know, the Bible, when God created the Garden of Eden, he created a place of shalom, okay? A place of peace. And that's not just like peace like we think. That's well-being. That is a place that all of us want. When sin came, shalom was broken. And when God's going to come back, he's going to establish an entire kingdom of shalom on this earth. And what we're all looking for in our lives is we want that peace that sin broke. We want that shalom that our lives are longing for. And we think that if I have this or if I... No, that comes as we seek God. Asa made a decision that the whole country was going to seek after God. Some people think that, you know, if I really commit my life to God and seek after him, I'm going to miss out. Man, this whole coming Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, do you think I'm a weirdo? I mean, come on now. I have a life outside of church. You want me to come on a Monday night and actually give back and help others? My favorite show's on Monday night. Monday Night Football's coming up in September. Really? Can't do that. But as Asa and the people intentionally sought God, they got what really their heart was looking for. You know, it's like what was talked about this morning, fantastic message, about how when you give all, you gain all. That doesn't make any sense. But God is saying, look, hey, as you intentionally seek God, God's going to give us peace and well-being. Corrie Ten Boom was a Dutch woman, and she spent some time in several concentration camps, and her family was involved in the Holocaust, and basically she was obviously not a Jew, she was Dutch, but her family made the decision they were going to take in Jews, and they were going to try to rescue as many Jews as possible. They were doing a very good and noble thing, and they knew they were risking their lives for it, and they were caught and they were captured. And her father shortly passed away. I believe it was 10 days after they were captured. Her sister died as well in the Holocaust, but she had a very unique perspective on life. She had a very unique perspective to view situations through the lens of God's word rather than the lens of her emotions or her feelings. This is what she said. She says that he, speaking of God, uses our problems for his miracles. This was my first lesson in learning to trust him completely. Somebody that her father passed away, her sister passed away, how could she say that? Because Corrie Ten Boom was intentional about seeking God. Corrie Ten Boom was intentional about having that relationship with God. A relationship with God gets us through adversity, while personal beliefs will crush us in adversity. You see, Asa's relationship with God brought him through adversity, while Baasha's personal beliefs crushed him in adversity. Baasha believed that if he could just get the throne, that things would be okay, that life would be better, that he would be happy. And he got it. He got what he wanted. Can you imagine? You get whatever you want in your life right now. What's the one thing you want? It's yours. Can you imagine that? Man, that'd be a scary thing. Baasha got it. He got the one thing that he wanted. He got the one thing that was going to make him happy. But he was constantly fighting. He sacrificed his relationship with God for it. And Baasha's personal belief was this: I'm just going to pursue happiness. If I can just pursue happiness. Let me get this really quick. Sorry about that. Gotta love technology. We're trying something new using the computer back here. My dad said if it fails on you, good, so I'll know not to do it, okay? So it failed on me. Baasha's personal belief was this: pursue happiness at all costs. The Bible says in 1 Kings, for as much as I exalted thee out of the dust and made thee prince over my people Israel, and thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam and hast made my people Israel to sin to provoke me to anger with their sins, behold, I will take away the posterity of Baasha and the posterity of his house, and will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. The end of pursuing happiness for Baasha was ruin. The end of trying to advance himself and advance his kingdom and advance his desires, the end of that was ruin. I found this. There's a lot of people in churches that really they're seeking their own advancement, but it's in the masquerade of spiritual things. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do this, and it's spiritual when really at the core of our heart is self and pride. We say, I want to do this, and when we judge our motives, and by the way, God cares a lot about our motives, we would look, and there's a lot of self-centeredness there. We stay home on a Monday night and won't go to outreach sometimes because if we go on a Monday night, we won't get our relaxing time, we won't be happy. We have situations in life, and we know what the Bible says. Like, you don't need to go seek counsel, you already know what the Bible says. You know what you should do, but you don't do it. Why? Because it won't make you happy. We won't commit ourselves to a ministry because choir at 9 o'clock in the morning? Are you crazy? Hey, I'm just saying. Sometimes in our lives, if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we're more intentional about pursuing happiness than we are about pursuing God. Here's the big difference between Baasha and Asa. Is Baasha intentionally pursued happiness while Asa intentionally pursued God? Asa pursued God, And God fought his battles for him. In 1 Chronicles chapter 14, what happened? The Ethiopians were coming up, okay? I don't want to fight some Ethiopian guys. Doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me. Ethiopian guys are coming up. 300 chariots. If it's me, I'm like planning, I'm scheming, I'm getting all my leadership together. I'm saying, okay, you're attacking on that side, you're attacking on this side. Okay, the bow and arrows, you guys got them. Look, we're going to get these dudes. The Bible says that Asa, in the midst of knowing people are coming to kill him, Asa stopped, he humbled himself, and he pursued God. And he intentionally sought God. These are guys with very similar situations. They didn't have godly fathers, but one pursued God and one did not. This is what I want to ask you tonight, a very simple message. Is in the next 7 days, will you intentionally develop your relationship with God? When I say intentionally develop your relationship with God, I don't mean like some mystical thing. What I mean is just, it's pretty simple. Just taking God's word, just taking the Bible and just opening it up. Say, man, I don't know where to read. I'll tell you, a good place to read to start would be John. It's all about Jesus, the life of Jesus. John, just take it open and just spend a few minutes reading God's word. In the next 7 days, I'm not asking you to come here and like, you know, give your whole life to do it. No, just would you just say, hey, in the next 7 days, I'm going to be intentional about developing my relationship with God. I want to give you four quick facts to kind of help us with this, and then we'll be done for the evening. First of all, a relationship with God won't happen on accident. A relationship with God won't happen on accident. Look, ladies, you might burn the food on accident, okay? We might drop our cell phones on accident. You get in a car wreck on accident. You mess up a recipe on accident. That's why I just stick with Pop-Tarts, amen. But you don't develop a relationship with God on accident. Like, it's not like, okay, one day, you know, like you're just sitting there and then it's like, yes, I'm super spiritual. I have a great relationship with God. No, it doesn't happen on accident. It just doesn't. Like, I wish it did. I wish we could be like, all right, this is the code that you press. This is the number that you text. This is the site that you email. And then voila, you're going to be a super spiritual Christian. It doesn't happen like that. Number two, a relationship with God involves reading the Bible and praying. A relationship with God involves reading the Bible and praying. Look, we need to be in church. It's important to be in church. But we can't let this be the only time we hear God's word. This cannot be the only time we communicate with God. This cannot be the only time we connect with God. We live in the Bay Area. We have a lot of commuters in here. Life is stressful. Life is busy. But we have to take some time aside. If we're going to be intentional in the next 7 days about developing our relationship with God, we're going to have to take some time, whether it's on our commute, you're not driving or whatever, but on an app, on whatever, and spend some time reading the Bible and spend some time praying. It's amazing how my view of life changes when I open up the Word of God and just spend time not just reading it, but meditating on it. It's amazing how life changes. And sometimes as Christians, we're like, okay, pastor gets up here and preaches, and it's like, I just don't see life that way. Well, maybe it's because we spend a lot of time watching CNN, a lot of time watching our shows, and we don't spend a lot of time reading the Word of God. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help us tonight to say, hey, if we're going to be intentional about developing our relationship with God, we are going to have to spend quality time reading the Bible and praying. And I promise you this, it'll keep you out of a lot of trouble too. Number three, stuff gets in the way when you try to develop your relationship with God. Stuff. I'm not saying sin, although of course that does. I mean good stuff. Man, the kids want you going here. Man, your wife's got you doing this. Man, the husband's barking at you for something. You got all this stuff going on, sports games going on. You got, and before you know it, it's 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and you are just wiped. You're white. You're laying in bed. You had a stressful day, and you haven't even opened up the Word of God. It happens to all of us. It happens to all of us. And if you this week, in the next 7 days, just say, hey, I'm going to intentionally develop my relationship with God, I'm going to warn you, stuff is going to get in the way. Number four, God wants a relationship with you more than you want one with him. That's so cool. I found this. It's pretty sweet. That God wants to spend time with me more than I want to spend time with him. You know, sometimes we have the view of God like, oh man, God doesn't really hear my prayers, or oh man, God, no. God wants you to come to him and God wants you to seek him. And by the way, when we spend time with God, we don't do it because he's going to love us more, because we're going to earn some merits or something like that, or we're going to get, no, we do that because he loves us and because we love him. And we do it because We want to have a relationship with God. And our church is only going to be strengthened. Our church is only going to be ready to move forward for what God has for us at the end of 2014 and 2015 and 2016 and beyond if, as Christians, we strengthen ourselves. And we want to have a strong church. Of course we all do. But that will only happen as individual members get rooted in the Word of God. Colossians chapter 2. Being rooted and built up in His Word. And look, this is a call to me. This is a call to everyone in here to say, hey, we need to be intentional about this thing of pursuing after God. God's waiting for you. God is waiting for you. It's like the prodigal son. That's one of the most beautiful chapters of the entire Bible. A guy that had done so much, you can't even imagine what he's done. He's lived it all. And here you've got his dad. His dad didn't have a baseball bat. His dad's not ready to throw condemnation at him. He's looking for him. Open arms, come on in. I want to talk to you. This week, the next 7 days, will you intentionally develop your relationship with God? Will you intentionally develop your relationship with God? Because know this, one relationship can change everything. Let's pray. Lord, tonight, just a simple Bible message. I ask you that you would just use your word. Lord, in a way that only you can. God, it's so easy for all of us, and I raise my hand first, to get really just stagnant. It's so easy for us just to, okay, Bible time, check it off. Or it's just life just gets busy. But God, I pray tonight that we would kind of just take a step back and just look at life and look at where we are. And we would just make a decision, Lord, in the next 7 days that we're going to intentionally develop that relationship with you. And God, we ask you that you would change us and that you would mold us into what you want us to be. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.